So establish yourself, and we invite these other people so that we can start our study tonight. We have some chair up here, we have some bacon. So, dear friends, tonight, today is 11, right? Is it 10?
10.
Or 10 of August. I lost the sense of day. 10 of August 2010, and this is our Tuesday night class. And I welcome those of you who are first time. Last two class we have studied and discussed about the five mindfulness trainings, and this is an essential for our happiness, and it's very foundational for the five trainings is the essence of the freedom and happiness on a spiritual path. If you can practice this five mindfulness training fully, you can become a Buddha. You can become a Buddha. Or you can become an enlightened one. This is the... All the other mindfulnesses come from this, and they elaborate, make it in detail and specifics. But this is the very core. Whether you are monk or not, nuns or not, you still, or as lay people, whether monk and nuns still have to practice this five mindfulness trainings. But when the Buddha laid out this five mindfulness trainings, he focused on the lay community. It's less for you. For us, it's 250, so it's really difficult for you. 250. If you are nuns, it's 248, you more. But for lay friends, you are only 5 to start with. But if you can move on to 10, your 10 wholesome precepts, wholesome trainings, and this is only a 5 mindfulness training. So when you start out, when you study it and you have an understand, a thorough understanding of this, and this is when you're ready to get the receive the five mindfulness training. That means you make the commitment to practice this. And, but I think whether you make a commitment or not, you still, in order to have some kind of joys and happiness in life, you still have to obey some kind of ethic in a normal life. You know? If we go across the red light, the barrier, we will our happiness is shaken, our peace is shaken, so it's important. This is like a barrier for you, it's something that to protect you, not to lose your happiness, your joy. And this, when you truly practice this, this is where you really generate some true choice and happiness. Because they have the protections for you, the security for you. So we have been studying the first one and the second one. The first one is reverence for life, and the second one is true happiness. We change the name slowly. It's for when we tell you new, he changed his name. The first one is we call before it's called protecting life, right? Not killing, the first one. And the second one is not stealing. Oh, generosities. But now it has been changed, the name, to make this for us to easy to understand. Reverend Lord, I mean you respect life, right? And you protect life. And to happiness, that means you're not taking someone else's properties and some not taking without permission from someone. Instead of you do more generosities, charity work, generosities like that. But when you go further, you will see the detail of it. But we have been discussed the first one and the second one. Today we go into the third one, true love. So the third one says that aware of the suffering caused by sexual misconduct. And you can see the first word start out as aware or awareness. Awareness here is mean you be mindful of the suffering, mindful of the suffering by aware of the sexual misconducts that can cause you something in life. And so aware of the suffering caused by sexual misconduct, I'm committed to cultivate responsibility and learning ways to protect the safety and integrities of individuals, couples, family and society. And as we know that the sexual misconduct has produced a lot of wound in family. Produce a lot of wounds. For oneself. For family, for children, for couples, and for oneself and for the people. And this one has been deepened in our heart. We all have. In a normal vernacular life, we all have some wound in our hearts by this sense of sexual misconduct. And sexual misconduct has been produced a lot of broken family in our society. You can see that. Produce a lot of and once your heart is got wounded, and if you don't know how to get out, you're wounded by day and your wounds get deeper day by day. And you've been and your life can be dropped by that. That sexual misconduct, sexual abuse. And today I have see one patient and she tell me that her most of her life have been wounded by this. Sexual misconduct. She had been abused by family, her family. And after, and that prolonged to her marriage. And after she married, she also had been abused also. And that really deepened in her heart. And she very wounded. And she couldn't able to lift herself out of the situation. And she's been divorced for many years, but her wound kept coming back and haunted her. Do we have a chair here? Yeah, one more here. And you know the true happiness is in the relationship, especially in relationship with family. And first you want to come together to fulfill our loneliness. So that loneliness push you toward to have sexual relationship, right? Maybe some is sensual pleasure, but more is deep down is the loneliness. You need the connection. You need the connections. So that push you to that direction. So you thought that once you have a relationship, you can fulfill your loneliness. But because deep down, but after that, after the moment's over, you still feel so much lonelier, more lonely. And that energies of loneliness strongly push you in that direction. From one person to the next. That's why after you get divorced and you thought that you might have another one, you repeat the cycle again. Or that cycle again. And you make another mistakes deep down in your heart. Because we are lacking a sense of self responsibility. In marriage, you have to take care of yourself, right? Responsibility in your own energy. Responsibility. Feel unsafe. Right? We feel says that when we choose to have partner, and we think when we have partner we have more security. Right? Security. You have bank security. You can hold on to that person. So you feel more protections. You have fear of being insecure. So you need some protections. Protection. You feel fragile, you know, feel fragile. Somehow that deep down, we have that sense of feeling. So we have to have a sense of commitment to. Commitment into the relationship. You commit to yourself and commit to your partner, right? To build a strong relationship. So commitment. Because in relationship, sometimes you have up and down, strong in your relationship. You feel very much up and down because. Each individual we are already up and down in our own body and mind. So you when in a relationship you have two body, two mind to take care. But if you're not able to take care of yourself, then it's really fragile. You produce more. You see here you can either be very strong together and you can be very weak together. When you by yourself, you have only one loneliness, but now you have two loneliness. You have to work with that loneliness. Because loneliness here, that means you don't feel the unity of your body and your mind. The unity of the body and mind. The body and mind is always in separation. In separation. But in unity is very difficult. So when you lack in the sense of unity with your body and your mind, then you have some kind of turbulence in your own mind and heart. Turbulence. And mostly, you see, sexual activities is pushed by craving. And it's pushed by craving. Craving to fulfill the physical part. And you know that craving always, underneath craving we have ignorance, blindness. So if you have a strong craving, then that's what it pushes you to fall into the trap of sexual misconduct. You want to fulfill that craving, and you want to fulfill that craving. So this craving is pushed by the energies of lacking the sense of unity in yourself. And you want to fulfill that. And in sexual relationship, if you don't fulfill that, you create more gaps, the big gap, day by day. The gap is getting bigger, bigger. And you start to build your own islands, self. You withdraw yourself, and you got stagnant in your feeling. I just read a story. I think it's fiction, but it can be put there. This man in Vietnam, and he have a family and have three children in the village, and he lived by a great lake, and. And he has some difficult communication with his wife, but he couldn't say it, and he couldn't tell anybody. And one day he tell the boat builder, say, "Can you build me a boat? And with this boat, you have to be used very. The wood will have to be very long lasting, maybe 30 years. Good, have to be good, and just only for one person." Beautiful, and the boat for one person, and the boat builder built him a boat just for one person with two paddle, no engine, but just the paddle. And when it's finished, and he go on the boat, board the boat, and he be out on the lake, big lake, day by day, no coming back. And his wife was shocked and said, "If you leave the house, no, not ever to come back again." Because in the anger, the wife tell her, "If you leave the house, leave, don't come back. Don't ever, never come back to this house." And he was on the boat for day and months without coming back, and without step on the shore. Without telling his children and anybody. And when I read the story, I relate to this loneliness. He was so deep lonely, he couldn't lonely say, "I just be with the river. The river understand my loneliness, and with the water. So the water can refresh my loneliness. Just be with the water, with very few foot on the boat. day and night, it just pelled down the lake, up and down the stream. Even in the winter, it's very cold. But his heart is too cold already. He couldn't feel the cold outside. He couldn't communicate with his wife. He couldn't communicate with his children. So he got stuck in his relationship. And many of us, many family, even though they try to be together, but they are like prison. And yesterday I went to Granby to express some the ask of the member. And on my way back, and this young couple, they are Catholic. Their mom is Buddhist, but they married to Catholic friends. And in the car, we discussed a lot about relationship. And he said that he tell me a story of one Catholic family. He said this man, he was a priest before, and somehow that he met this woman, and he disrobed and married this woman, and thought that he didn't find happiness in his path of spiritual. So he disrobed and married to this woman, and at the beginning they're happy, but for years, and then as years move by, path went by, they slowly to withdraw each own island. And the more he withdraw, the more this lady go to church and pray day by day, and he hate that. He hate her to go to church and pray. And what she does is she just cook and leave the food on the table and leave, and never eat, never have lunch, dinner or breakfast together. And day by day like that. And she called up to the one that I would join me, and she was crying, saying that our relationship is getting worse and worse, and we couldn't able to bear each other. So I just cook and live on the stove, and I never prepare and bring our food on the table, just cook and for him. That's all I do as a wife. And she thought that she already fulfilled the response to job as a wife. Just cook for him. But he always, and he just go out with his friend and drink. And all his friend is a drinker. And she hated all of his friend. And whenever he come home, he just watch TV and go into his room. Whenever he's there. And they hardly talk. They live two person in the family, but it's like two prisoner in the family. They're afraid if they divorce, you know, like the community look at all. Lose face. See? So they imprison themselves by that way. Never taste any joy or any happiness in the marriage at all. At the beginning, some physical sensual pleasures. But as years, months move past by, they live like that. They imprison themselves like that. And each of them feel their own loneliness. And his neck always say that he's wrong. He's point the finger. He never said that I'm part of the problem. He said that always that. He say that's what he calls the family, the marriage. So when you point the finger, it's not work. When something happened in your family, each one have take the responsible. Nobody is completely right or nobody completely wrong. We all contribute some kind of errors to the problems. We have to accept that. We don't say that one person, other person is totally 100% wrong and you are 100% right. If you do that, you continue the problems. Never solve the problem. So we have to take responsibility in our own errors. We all have some wound. Accept the wound. Don't run away from your wounds. Wound is there for us to learn, for us to work with. Some of us have more wounds, some of us have less wounds. If you know how to transform the wounds into insight, into strength, you have to know how to work with your wounds in your heart. We all have wounds. We all have scar in our body, in our mind. Scar. If you don't know how to transform that scar, and day by day we accumulate each scar by each scar in our heart, how can you live life like that? And he, that you know, the wife isn't respects the husband, and the husband does not respect the wife. Why that happened? We have to respect and care. That for that couple, they didn't care for each other. They care seemed like, she seemed like to care for him for cooking. But that doesn't mean it's very surfacing, you know. You have to serve very surfacing. And he tell me, that couple also tell me the book called The Five Languages of Love. Did you read the book, Five Languages of Love? Five Languages of Love. And I remember she says, the first one is, can you tell me if you read the first language of love? By Gary, something by Gary. Five Languages of Love. One of them is the act of service. Act of service doesn't mean that you cook for him, it's the act of service there, you know. Second one is sharing time. Slowly I remember touching here, hugging or something like that. So sharing time is very, very important here. You have time for each other. Sometimes here you, maybe you cook together, for example. You know, she cook, you wash, you take out the trash. And in that sharing, in the cooking, the working together, you learn to be together. You learn that she has some different characteristics. Yeah? Maybe she's kind of a very fast acting, and you know that you have to be patient, for example, right? And or you can take a walk together. It's like sharing time. A walk together, a hiking together. It's just sharing time together.
So you, Maud, you do work together, you will learn very much together. In one of the Buddhist teachings called Wukman, that means five signs, five kind of signs. One of them is lời and working together to understand the people. Working together with people. As the monks, we have to work with the community, with people. That means đồng sự, đồng sự, that means working together. Đồng sự. It's one of the Buddhist we call five senses. Tư giới pháp, sorry, five senses different. Tư giới pháp, that means four way to attract, to tư giới, so that you can work together with people, four ways. This one is đồng sự, working together. So in the sentence, that means sharing time together. Sharing time, you deepen your relationship together. You know, deepen relationship. When you share time, you will learn a lot. You will learn from each other. So you go deeper than you just only the sensual or the physical touch or just a physical sexuality activity. That's only when you first come together. But something you have months you work by, you live together 40 years, 50 years, then you have to understand some deep aspirations. What's he aspired to do? Ước nguyện của người đó. Deep aspirations. Each of us have some aspiration in life. Right? Aspiration. Some deep wishes that you want to fulfill. So you have to, when you work together, share time together, you understand her or his deep aspiration. Maybe his deep aspiration is to learn something that he can enjoy. Beside activity of sexual relationship, right? And when you come together, you learn that and you have the responsibility. That means you have responsibility for her and for him, right? When you come together like that, you share the responsibility. That's why partner is come together to share responsibility, obligation in life. Because once you have children, then you have obligations and you have responsibility. And if you have the responsibility and the respect for each other, then you produce some children. It's like that too. You plant the seeds already. See? So you very have a lot of responsibility when you produce some children together. So that's why here say that I determined not to engage in sex without true love and deep, long commitment. So this is very, very important in our life, in our life, as a marriage life. And once you have that sense of responsibility for yourself, for the family, that means you protect the children. And you protect the children from other family too. So the children is not get abused. Right? And in our society, there's a lot of chance children has been abused. Because they are very powerless. Children is very powerless. And very fragile too. But if you don't protect them, who will to protect them? And mostly, abuse happen in family. You know that. Abuse happen in family. So you come together to generate some joyness together. Joy together. Joy here. You see the word joy? produce some joy together. And here, joy here, you can say, you can joy together to produce some kind of happiness. And you know that the happiness of you is very, very much related to the happiness of the others, of your loved one, right? So if you feel sad or you feel some, then maybe your partner not going to be happy, and your children is not going to be happy. If you have some trouble in your life, and you know that it's very much influence the people you love, right? They have to spend some time with you. To share. So come together, you share that. You share the time, you share the responsibility, you share the care together. Say, know that sexual desire is not love, that sexual activity motivated by craving always produce harms. Yeah? Craving always produce harm. Harms myself and as well as others. I am determined not to engage in sexual relations without true love and a deep, long commitment made to my family and friends. I will do everything in my power to produce, to protect children from sexual abuse, and to prevent couples and family from being broken by sexual misconduct. Broken family is the products of sexual misconduct, right? Seeing that body and mind are one, I'm committed. To learning appropriate ways to take care of my sexual energies and cultivate love and kindness, compassion, joy, and inclusiveness. So you can direct your energy. You see, instead of like sexual energy, you have too much of sexual, you can produce, you can generate, direct that into love and kindness, compassion, right? You can put in that direction, you can turn the sexual energy into many good things. Compassion is the energy, right? Is an energy. Love and kindness is an energy. Joy is an energy. And we have been watered this seed by through many, many things. For example, like mostly the advertisement that you see, they use sex to attract us. Advertisements. And we have we watered the seed every time we watch TV. All the products they sell on TV, advertisements, is they use the body or some kind of image related to that. To provoke your interest, to see that. And we don't know that, and we've been watered like this day by day. It's not very healthy. It's not very healthy. And imagine that many years in our life, we have been watered that kind of seed. And that produces, every time you water that seed, it's produced craving energy in you. Here, I just watched the news. Whatever I need the news, I just watch the news. But sometimes news is also very toxic too. A lot of news is very negative. And sex industry, they use it too, you see. And that's why we are very corrupt society. Because being watered. we've been exploited by all this, and we don't know, we don't know where. And that's why craving always go ignorant. We don't see it. We don't see it. And then we become a victim, and we act out there. And when we have a lot of this energy, what can we do? You know, and we push, and that push us. In that direction, and to make sexual misconduct in that direction. So we have to be very careful what we watch on TV, all our advertisements, and especially for our children, and they're very innocent, you see, that's why you have to protect them, they're innocent. And if you allow them to watch TV, they you are very busy and you try to put them into rest and you put them on, turn on TV for them. That's what they've been wanted. And we don't know, and one day they spoil and you blame. You see, because you don't know what you have been done for them. So you have children, you have to be careful how to protect them. Because in our society we are so busy, as mom and dad, you are so busy. And if you produce children and you don't have time for them, you don't share. You share time with your partner, but you have to share time with your children too. Be protected. And many young people have been worried about this. And they grow and they are not very healthy. Not very healthy. In the thinking. So if you are a wise parent, then you should know how to share time with your children. That means your responsibility. I saw when I was at the airport, I saw this parents. They brought the TV and game with them, and then the children, they just put them into that so they don't run around. That's how you feed your children. And nowadays, many people, even adults, very active, addictive to computer and to games. And it's not very healthy. Not very healthy. For your mind, and for your physical body. Very, and in computer, in internet, it's very dangerous for craving. You know, every lot of website, they have the image of that, of body image to tempt you. Very. So you have to be very careful when you on the internet too. Don't water your craving. So walk on the spiritual path. It's very important to be aware of this. So sexual energy, we call sexual three kinds of like sexual energy. Ki, breath, and tongue. Spirit. We have these three sources of energy in our body. Sexual energy, breath.
Mm-hmm. The first one, is that an H? An T-I-N-H?
Yeah, T-I-N-H. Okay. So we have to know how to use this energy. Yes. And breath, for example, when you run out of breath, ki, and when you're very talkative, you talk a lot, you lost a lot of your ki, breath. So you have to recharge by breathing healthy, clean air. Talk too much, you also lost of that, the breath, right? Just like me. I remember when I was in Promise, when after every Dharma talk, they have to give a massage. The attendant have to give him a massage to recharge his breath. Key. Breath. And we lost by that. If we don't know how to preserve, we lost. And tan. In Vietnamese we call tan tan. Tan tan. Tan tan. Spirits. Tan tan mean here is breath. Energy and tan, spirits. And when people lost this energy, you can see in their eyes. Their eyes very tired, right? Tan. We look at somebody's eye and they are very ill and they lost their energy. But their eyes very weak and very tired, right? Tired. And when we look at the Zen master, you can see that they appear you. Their eyes have a lot of spirit. A lot of tan. Spirit. And they can see when you are very weak, you can very feel when you look directly to the eyes of the. They can see. They can see you. They have very strong spirits. Spirit energy. Tan ki tan. So if we practice well, we can direct this sexual energy into making stronger. When you have the three energy in you stronger, you become healthy, very healthy. People are very ill, they are lacking of this spirit energy, breath. Some people, they couldn't talk, right? Because they couldn't talk. And they're very lacking of that. Lacking the breath, the ki. So your body is not very ripe, energetic. So you have to be moderate. Even you have family, you have to sexual activity, you have to be moderate. It's very important, moderate. Not too indulgent. But if you have to have too much of this activity, your life very surface. Very surface. You don't have a deep life. The thoughts you're thinking is not very deep. Because you spend most of the energy into this already. And you're not very deep in your life. So that's why, you know, like the most, the celibacy people, they're very deep in the thinking because they most use their energy in the meditations. And they're spirits very high, and their words, their language is very sharp and very deep. You see? Because they don't lose this energy here. They don't lose this energy. They are very awake, very alert, not do. And they're very sharp. And there's all this you can generate through your meditation practice. Because when you meditate, you focus, you bring your body and your mind to oneness. The unity of your body and your mind. Your mind and body is not being two separate objects. Second question. It's really, this is a training. It's very important to learn deeply and look deeply. So in your marriage life, if you look deeply and apply it, you can protect your family happiness, joy. If you self-contained in your marriage, not maybe even self-contained. With your marriage. Self-contained here, I mean you're able to alleviate your loneliness. And then once that loneliness transforms, and you become togetherness. Yeah. Yeah. Because first we thought that when we come together, we say that we can alleviate our loneliness. But if we don't careful, we can make that loneliness, the gap loneliness bigger.
I know that you've talked about this before, but would you touch on healing those wounds and when the islands are created inside, how to the healing, the transformation,
healing the wounds,
and dealing with the internal loneliness.
Okay, so see, you see, once the wounds is one because you are lacking of the spirit, right? Lack of the spirit. So when your spirit is stronger, right, then you can progress on the path of spiritual. And when your spiritual path is strong, it's healthy, then you turn the wounds into strength, into the real path. So this is why mud now can turn into lotus. You know, like many spiritual wants a lot. Like Dalai Lama wants for his family, wants for his country. Like Tai, he have a lot of wants. But because he have the tools, they have the tools to work with. And they turn that wants around. And turn that wants into love and kindness. To himself and for society. You see how, you imagine how much want the Dalai Lama has for himself. He saw many people kill his people. That's a big wound. Kill many monks, his monks and monks. I went to Dharamsala with Elaine. There's a big sign, and we see a lot of many terrible images of the people who done to his people, kill and abuse, and you know, and many wounds, bruise. And they take pictures and put on the wall. And as a leader, how much wound do you have? When I talk this, I have goosebumps when I see that picture in myself. And I always think about that. But here, able to turn that around and able to love the people who have wounded his people, his monks and nuns. Very much. And like Tai, many the communists kill his student, shot the social work people. And how much do you see how much wound he had in his arm? But he able to turn that around and continue the work of peace for himself and for people. Many masters of peace. Master of enlightenment, they all have been deeply won. Deeply won. Milarepa. And Milarepa is one of the patriarchs in the Tibetan lineage. And if you read his life story, he had a lot of wounds during the training. But he become a real great master. So if you don't have wound, your life is not very deep. But you have to know how to turn that wound to make your life deeper. if you live everything smooth, your life, you don't have a lot of very deep thinking. You don't. But you have to know how to work it, otherwise you'll be drowned by that. So you have these two sides here. It's two sides to work on the ones. So if you, when you know that you have deep one, you have to find, you have to have some people to help you to see that, how can I turn this one into a strength so that I can progress in my life. Don't ever imprison yourself by that ones. And we, many people, imprison themselves because of the ones they have in the family, in their love, in their relationship. The Buddha appeared in this world because of us who have many wounds. So he showed us the way to transform the wounds. You can transform these wounds by everyday activities, by the way that you walk, by the way that you talk, by the way that you look at the people. You look, if you have that wound and you share the sympathy of those who have the wounds as you. You understand the wounds very much. You have the suffering and you understand other people's suffering. And that's where you generate compassion, love and kindness. If you don't underwent through surgery, how can you understand how much is painful during the process of surgery? So if you go through a broken marriage, then you understand, you sympathize with those who have been going through the process, right? So you practice inclusiveness. So turn the wound to make your life deeper, every day, day by day. And be strong, get yourself stronger. One once you get a little bit stronger, two once you get more stronger, three once more stronger. And that, you learn to love life more. You learn to be with life. And that slowly, that is the process that you can slowly become a known self. You're able to embrace others once. That's one process of turning yourself into a known self of love and kindness. That's where insight is generated. Where are those in earth? No insight. No insight. So the question is, how much skill do you have to work with that? You have to get some skills to work with what you want. For example, if you, and I, this morning, one of my clients said, she always repeat herself the negative and say, I can't do it, I can't do it. And that's, she reinforced that herself. She don't get the confidence. And I told her, you have to say that, now I can do, but not cannot. I can't, now I can do it. You have to awake your capability of doing that. Don't kill your capability of transforming. If you repeat yourself, instead of say one, let's say love and kindness, or you say thanks, if you repeat that every day, it's become a positive energy. And then you, once you have the positive energy, it's like magnetic. It's drawing more positive energy to you. But if you in that, if you always have that negative energy, and then it's attract that negative energy, and that's all the friend you have. You see? And that's the direction you go. So everything you want to do, even one character, one quality you want to improve that quality, you have to repeat that. Contemplate that, and then slowly that energy, that quality, that character become alive in you. alive in you. And that's the way to practice, cultivate day by day. Day by day you cultivate love and kindness, and slowly love and kindness alive in you. And slowly it's you. No longer becoming you, but it's you. That energy is you. And what you do, that will be the result. See? Shame the law of attractions. Magnetic. So if you put yourself always, you know, under low self-esteem, and you generate that energy day by day, how can the sun shine through you? See? Even the sun is there, but you don't enjoy the sun. You don't see the sun. The sun is equally shining for everybody. But somebody live very depression, it's very dark. See? But some people, why somebody is so open, is so optimistic? Because they have that energy in them and they connect to the sun. It's like that. So if you want to transform your wounds, develop some positive attitude, whatever you want. For me, every day, if I eat one thing in my mouth, I say, thank to the Mother Earth, thank to all sentient beings, thanks to the Buddha. It's a little thing, without seeing that, how can you? And then you develop joy in you right away. A sense of joy, a sense of connections. You say thanks to the Mother, then sense the connection to Mother right away. Thanks to all sentient beings, have been worked very hard for this food to be arrived here. And then you connect to all sentient beings, and you don't do harm to them. And that energy will attract you. It's not magnetic. And able to come to you, they feel comfortable. But if you have some stagnance, some energy that is not very enjoyable, people come and they feel it. Either withdraw or you withdraw yourself. It's work for me, so. If you care for people, people will care for you. This is regular sense of life. If you care, even the animal, you love them and they allow you to pet them. They feel that in you. But if you have my clients, they say that my dog just keep barking at me because her dog keep barking at her and she said that she feel my energy. That's the word. She just keep barking at me. I feed her, but she keep barking at me. It's a strength. They feel your energy. They feel irritated. The energy is very irritating. So the dog keep barking. So if you love the dog love your bags. Just like that. If you protect sentient beings, you always get be protected by sentient beings. And love and kindness is the best protection in life. Weapon is not. You see Gandhi, when he died at the time, he said, you can produce a million of weapons, but weapon will not kill me. Because in me, loving is the weapon. Gandhi, when he died, he got assassinated. You can kill me, but you cannot kill my loving kindness. In his heart, there's no hate. How can weapon want to kill him? So I'll just share with you that today is love and kindness. To love. So in to love we have responsibility, we have care, we have commitment, right? And respects. That's the four elements. Responsibility, commitment, respect, and care. And once we care for others, I mean, we care for ourselves. If we are careless for yourself, I don't think we can care for other people. Everything starts with us. So that's why peace starts with us. Love and kindness start with us. Protection, security. Security start with us. If we have that internal, inner protections. So when you will ask them, how can you do well of an inner quality? And next I will share you with the teaching on merit. Merit. And yeah. And it's very beautiful by 6 pages. Say. Have some internal development in order to inner development to develop merit. Not some merit, not something outside. It's very beautiful teachings in the platform teachings. It's very deep teachings, platform. And he teaches how to create, how to generate merit. Okay, so we are gonna stop here. If you have any questions. In order for your learnings and to be take rooted, you have to do some contemplation day by day. That means you are feeling it, contemplating to make it. Each day you do some contemplation. That means you are water it. The more you contemplate, the more it gets stronger and healthier. Just like a tree. If you want the young trees, a young plant, if we keep watered every day and then it take root, once it take root, then even strong hand are able to root, they're able to stabilize itself. So that means you have to root in some practice, in some contemplating to your, for your practice to take root. If you're thinking about a lot of contemplation, security, love and kindness, and it's grow every day, and that's how it's making our life deeper in meaning and well-being. So thank you for your listening. So we stop here. I invite Twisat Pyosara and can sit back. Just let your mind be free.
Thank you.
So this week